Reader's Digest. I never actually owned a copy, but preachers get lots of illustrations and stories out of it. And here's one. An employee was talking to a co-worker about the fact they got problems at home. And he said, "I know you pray for people. Could you pray for me and my family?" And the co-worker says, "Well, I keep a list of 10 people that I pray for on a regular basis. Will you pray for me?" "Yes, I will." She said, "I can do that because 3 of the people on the list have just died." Now, I guess if you ask someone to intercede for you, you're kind of expecting or you're wanting better the results than perhaps that lady experienced. You don't want to drop off the end of the scale. And the book of Hebrews reassures us again and again and again. We have the best intercessor that anyone could hope to have. We have a priest. We have a high priest. In fact, we have a great high priest. And there ought to be 2 reasons every Christian is confident in their high priest. That verse in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. "He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Tells us 2 things. First of all, our high priest is available. Is available. Don't know what you did as a kid. I spent every Saturday morning from about age 8 to 15 in the Odeon cinema. And we used to go on a Saturday morning and they had a special on. And so you had cartoons, you had Batman, you had another serial, and then you had the main feature film. And I love the old Batman series with Adam West. I suppose it's the original Batman, isn't it? And if you can cast your mind back to it, whenever Commissioner Gordon was in trouble in Gotham City, whenever a problem arose, Commissioner Gordon picked up a red telephone. I don't think it was called the Batphone, but he picked it up. And there was only one person it ever connected to. He had a direct line to Batman, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If they were in trouble, he picked up the red phone and it was instant connection. He was always available. You and I, not in cartoon land or someone's imagination, you and I have an eternal living priest who is always, always available. Some people assume that when Jesus died on the cross and went back to heaven, somehow he put his feet up and retired. This verse reminds us, nothing could be further from the truth. He ever lives. Why? To do something. To intercede for you and I. Another example is in the following 2 chapters, chapter 9, verse 24. He entered heaven itself. Why? Now to appear for us in God's presence. And as our high priest, he stands there to hear our pleas, our petitions, our pain. I like what somebody said. His ear is eager, his heart is empathetic, and his hand is extended. Let me give you that again. His ear is eager, his heart is empathetic, and his hand is extended. So first of all, he's available. Secondly, we're told, he is all sufficient. He is all sufficient. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. We have a priest who can meet our deepest needs. That means there is no sin so great that he turns away from it. And says, if it was that one, yes, I'd forgive you, but not for that one. There is no sin too great that turns away. Though we might grieve him, we always have a listening ear. There are no sins so numerous that they bar us from entrance to his listening ear. In fact, there is a sense when we say to him, "Lord, I've blown it again," he says, "What do you mean again?" For he chooses to remember our sins no more. Now that, of course, is not an excuse to go out and sin casually. When we looked at 1 John, we noted that fact. But the point is this, genuine confession brings genuine forgiveness. And we have a great high priest who is all sufficient to meet our deepest needs. I like the Graham Kendrick hymn, "The Price is Paid," which says, "More than enough he gave and bought our freedom from each guilty stain." More than enough. He's all sufficient. And so there is no reason that any of us should hesitate coming before him, especially in our time of need. Now, before we can confidently draw close to our great high priest, it's good to remember a few things, or to ask a few questions about our high priest. And here's the first question. Who is this great high priest? Who is this great high priest? And the answer's there in that particular passage, verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Our high priest is identified, Jesus, the Son of God. Now don't miss that. This is the only time in the New Testament when those two titles are put side by side. Jesus is used on numerous occasions. Son of God is used on numerous occasions. But this is the only time in the New Testament they are placed side by side. Quite deliberately. Jesus is the earthly human name given by God to the baby that was born. Son of God is the title given to the second member of the Godhead. So Jesus reminds us he is fully human. Real flesh and blood, as you are. Son of God reminds us he is fully divine. Someone put it this way. He is man as though he were not God, and God as though he were not man. Jesus, Son of God, complete in himself, two natures that don't contradict one another, but like trains or parallel tracks on a train line, they complement one another. When the new parents went with their baby to get him examined by a doctor, the doctor said, "Boy, you've got a cute baby." And the father said, "I bet you say that to all the new parents." The doctor said, "No, just those babies that are truly good looking." "Well," said the parent, "what do you say to those other parents whose babies aren't quite so good looking?" "Easy," said the doctor. "I look him in the eye and say, he looks just like you." Hey, when you look at Jesus, he looks just like you. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. A real human being in every sense of the word. And when you look at Jesus, he's just like God. Sinless, holy, perfect. Two natures in one. Why is he qualified to be a priest? Because he represents a perfect God and he represents sinful human people. And although he wasn't sinful, he was human. And he can bring the two together in himself. So question one, who's the great high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. Question two, what does this priest have to offer? What does this priest have to offer? And verse 15 and 16 tell us two things. Sympathy and grace. Sympathy and grace. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. What does he offer us? Sympathy and grace. Think about it, sympathy. Our high priest sympathizes with our weaknesses. The word sympathize literally means to suffer with. Not apart, but to suffer alongside, to suffer with. That means there is identification in that word. Our high priest has been tested just as we are tested. We know, of course, he was tested by the devil in the wilderness. I brought some stuff on my computer this week, and there's a sticker on it, and it simply says this, hardware tested. Why have they put that on there? They put it on there because they want me to know they've tested it, and it is proven to be the genuine article. It works. It is successful. It is victorious. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and he overcome the evil one. He was tempted. He was weak just as we become weak. He suffered just as we suffer. And don't forget, he knows what it's like to stand before a court, to face a judge who was merciless, and to face the court as an innocent man with a corrupt judge. Whatever our situation, he's been there. He's been there. So there's real identification in that word, sympathize. And that second word, grace. An angel grace has just turned up, so that's a coincidence, isn't it? Not only does he offer us grace to help in our time of need, did you notice where we're asked to come? We're asked to come to the throne of grace. Again, that's quite a unique one-off experience or title. Normally in the Bible, the throne of God is a throne of holiness. It's a throne of judgment. Ezekiel saw that throne, and he talks about the brightness of the glory of the Lord and how he fell down before it. Isaiah saw that throne and he said, "Woe is me, I'm a ruined man." The Apostle John saw that throne and he fell down as dead. Normally the throne of God is a throne of holiness and judgment, and people repel from it in fear. They fall down before it as dead. But not this throne. It's not a throne of holiness or judgment or justice. It's a throne of grace. Our high priest does not sit in the courtroom, robed in condescension, scowling down from his bench, bringing a gravel down upon our lives and saying, "Guilty, guilty, guilty." No, his throne is not a small courtroom. It is a sympathetic confessional, a throne of grace. And you and I are called to come before the throne of grace and mercy. You might know the old story of the politician who, when he received back the proofs for a particular portrait, he was very angry with the photographer. He instantly phoned him up and he said, "Those pictures you took of me do not do me justice." And the photographer replied, "With a face like yours, you don't need justice, you need grace." And did you notice the order in verse 16 of Hebrews 4? Let me read it again. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive grace." No. "That we may receive mercy, and then find grace to help in time of need." This verse says we always come to God for mercy. And when we come humbly, and when we come with the right attitude, not trying to pull a bargain off with God, but we come recognizing we've got no bargaining power, that's when we find grace to help in our time of need. Don't get the cart before the horse. It's not grace we come for, it's always mercy. And then he gives us grace to help. What is mercy? Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. We deserve punishment, but we find forgiveness. Grace is when you do get what you don't deserve. We get God's blessings, though they're undeserved. And this verse reminds us that we can come with confidence to the throne of God, but we can't click our fingers and expect him to jump. We don't just come any old how with any old attitude. We need to come reflective, thoughtful, humble, repentant. And then we find grace to help in our time of need. And then the third and final question. Why does he qualify to be our priest? Why does he qualify to be our priest? Well, Jesus qualifies, as we've already seen, because he's the perfect mediator. Being Son of God, he represents the Father. Being Son of Man, he represents humanity. But chapter 7 and verse 25 tells us this. He has been appointed by God. He's in a position because he's been appointed by God. Let me read that verse again. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Because of his unique sacrifice, he holds a unique position in heaven itself. I'm trying to think of an illustration of this. An old poem came to mind, and it's called "The Old Man on the Highway." Let me share it with you. An old man going a lone highway came that evening cold and grey to a chasm vast and deep and wide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side, and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, You're wasting your strength by building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You'll never again pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted up his old grey head. Good friend, in the path I've come, he said. There followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been naught to me, to this fair youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him. That very word priest comes from the Latin word pontifex. It means bridge builder. God the Father gave to his son two pieces of wood and three nails and said, build a bridge back to heaven. Build a bridge back to heaven. A bridge whereby others could cross after you've been there and enter my presence. He went to heaven not to retire. Nothing could be further from the truth. He is our great high priest who intercedes for us day by day. And I love this verse because you can just ask it question after question and it throws back the answer. Yeah. Let me finish by doing just that. Verse 16 of chapter 4. Who is invited to come? Let us come. Did you get that? Us. It's all inclusive. If you are a Christian, you have access. It didn't say let the spiritually good, let the moral upright, let those with a bigger Bible knowledge than others, let those who have got a better church attendance. There's no sub-clauses. It says if you're a Christian, you're included. Let us come. You don't have to feel spiritual. In fact, the very opposite. We all come because we're in need. Let us come. How do we come? With confidence. Boldly. With assurance. God has an open ear for his children. Just as any earthly parent has time for their children. Where do we come? To the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. Not a throne of judgment, but to a God who has a big heart and wants to welcome us back. How do we come? Asking for mercy. What do we receive when we come? Mercy and grace to help. And when do we come? In our time of need. In our time of need. Who is our great high priest? He is Jesus, the Son of God. What does his priest have to offer? And why does he qualify? Because he gave his life. He made that bridge whereby others may follow. And as we trust him for salvation, we carry on trusting him for that daily forgiveness as we trip up and slip up. Though we may be tainted with sin, we know we have a great high priest who's willing to forgive and to forget, to restore the bond day by day. Let's pray.